Good day, friends. We're glad to have the opportunity of coming into your home once again. We trust into your heart as well with a teaching from the Word of God. We're in a current series brought to you by your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ. The series is entitled Bible Questions and Answers. We have selected a number of questions that are often asked as we go about the country preaching the gospel, and the one we have on the broadcast today is one that often is asked. Is it possible for us to keep free from worldliness, or can we keep free from worldliness? Or as someone put it the other day, how can we keep free from worldliness? I believe the Bible has the answer to every question that has to do with the spiritual part of man. And I want to say to you on the broadcast today, we can keep free from worldliness. This doesn't mean that we won't commit sin. But I'm aware of the fact that there's a difference between committing sin and actually being one who lives daily in a sinful condition. In the sixth chapter of Romans, and you may want to note these references, Paul simply says in verse 6 that they had come to the place where they no longer needed to serve sin. You see, when one obeys the gospel of Christ, just as the Bible teaches, by hearing the word, believing it, repenting of their sins, confessing their faith in Christ, that they believe that Christ is the Son of God, and following that with immersion in water, baptism, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, then every sin is forgiven. The life may have been very worldly before that, but every sin is forgiven. Ephesians 1 and 7 is a very paramount passage where Paul says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So when one's sins are forgiven, then they become a freed man or a freed woman. God will not hold one sin that we've committed in our past life against us. But then the future stretches before us, and that's where the subject comes to play in our discussion today. Is it possible, then, in Christian living to keep free from worldliness? Again, I want to point out that we're going to make mistakes. But the Bible has a built-in provision in the 8th chapter of Acts, one of the places, that tells us that Brother Simon had committed sin after he had obeyed the gospel. And he was told by the Apostle Peter in verse 22 to repent and pray if perhaps the thought of your heart might be forgiven you. We also are aware of the fact that he is a forgiving father, for Jesus taught that we're not to forgive just 7 times, but 70 times 7. He is much like the father that received the prodigal, who when he came home, even though he'd lived a riotous life, truly he was a member of that family, but he'd lived a riotous life, his father said, my son that has been dead is now alive. So sins can be forgiven, but there is a life before us. I want to go to Romans, the 1st chapter, where it talks about one of the great properties of the gospel. Now mark very carefully the teaching that's found in Romans 1, 16 and 17. Notice our question is, how can we keep free from worldliness? Is it possible to do that? Well, we find that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, verse 16, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then in the 17th verse, he talks about the gospel farther by saying, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. My point is that in the gospel of Jesus Christ is revealed that which is right. Now here's the circumstance. When you become a Christian, and that's requisite if you're going to have your sins forgiven, when you've heard that word, believed and repented of your sins, confessed your faith in Christ and been baptized, then every sin is taken away. Like Paul said in Acts 22:16, he said, I was told to arise and be baptized and wash away my sins, calling in the name of the Lord. Keep in mind, as a newborn babe in Christ, with all sins forgiven, the devil cannot force you to sin any more than does God force you to serve him. But as James put it in the 1st chapter of James, that blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that obey him and truly who love him. So the point is that we're going to be put to the test. But notice it goes on to tell us in James, the 1st chapter there, reading from the 12th verse on down through several verses. In the 13th verse, it mentions that every man should not say that he's tempted of God, For God is not tempted with evil, but neither doth he tempt man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So get this picture straight on the broadcast today. The devil cannot force you to sin. Don't go around with a frame of mind that the devil made me do this. He can't make you do it. Now, I'll admit that he can make it so difficult for you to do anything else that you may succumb to sin, but he can't force you to sin. The point is that you're going to be the one that is led away, drawn away of your own lust and enticed. You see, if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. Just like when Jesus was tempted, he resisted the devil. He resisted the devil in that fourth chapter of Matthew by answering the devil as he threw temptation after temptation at him. He answered him with the scripture. They all came from the book of Deuteronomy. That's the law under which Jesus lived. The devil said, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones be made into bread. And Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He took him upon the pinnacle of the temple, and he said, if you're the Son of God, cast yourself down. Then the devil tried to quote scripture from the 91st Psalm, saying that it's written that the angels will bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. But Jesus said, it's written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then when he took him up on the high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and he said, all you have to do is bow down to worship me, and I'll give them to you. Jesus told him to leave. He said, it is written that he would only serve God, the one Lord, the one God. And it was spoken of as in that sense in Deuteronomy 6 and 4, the fundamental fact of the Old Testament, that there was one Lord. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, and so on. So what we're saying here is that the devil cannot force you to sin, but he can draw you away. But you see, if you actually have a desire to follow the Lord, if you have a desire to let him have his way in your life, then you're going to be able to overcome this. But someone says, make this more concrete. Well, let's go to the teaching that's found in the fifth chapter of Galatians. And he mentions here about the works of the flesh in verse 18 and follows through the next verse. And then he mentions about the fruit of the Spirit. I simply want to say this, that he says in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, and we have a number of them listed here. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies. Then he gets down to something that comes very close to a lot of people today. Envyings. He mentions murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. He said, as I told you before, I tell you now, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, the point is that all these things will take place in our life if we actually are led away by the way of the devil. But here's the antidote for the whole thing. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, and I want to underscore that. You see, if you're going to have fruit, you're going to have to plant the seed. And just as one becomes a Christian with the word, the seed, the word being planted in their mind or in their heart, so one lives that Christian life by the same pattern. Paul put it this way to the Colossians in Colossians 2 and 6. He said, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So you've got to work at this. We're told to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling in Philippians 2 and 12. And I believe the point is that we must be positive in our outlook, taking into our life these wonderful traits as though we were sowing seeds in the garden of our life. Well, here's the type of seed we're sowing, and it's going to come forth after its kind. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the lust with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So the point is to put God first in your life. Don't give place to the devil. Put him first in your life. Let him rule your life. Let your life be full of those things that are righteous. You know, I generally state four outstanding things when I'm talking to young people or older people about this. We should have contact with God daily and praying to him every day as a Christian. We should have contact with his word daily by reading it and meditating upon it. Don't just read it and close the Bible. Think about it. We should be to every service we possibly can of the assembly, for that brings us in contact with our brethren. And then we should be in contact with ourself. Don't be afraid to take a daily rating upon your life, whether you have given place to the devil. And if you have as a Christian, ask God to forgive you. But let him have a place in your life. Let him have his way with you. And then Paul wrote some of the most wonderful teaching that we have any place in the Bible about the peace that God will give us. And this is a peace that follows the storm of sin. And I want you to listen to the excerpt here now from the 4th chapter of Philippians. Remember verse 7. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding. You see, you have to appreciate this through experience. You can't talk about it. You can't explain it because it passeth all understanding. He said it shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then we have a number of things here. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Take that into your life. Fill your life with that. And then he goes on to say, those things which you both learned and received and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And how wonderful it is to realize that when that God of peace is with you, that's harmonizing perfectly with the beautiful things that God has made that are about you. God who made the world also made the plan for salvation. We can keep free from worldliness, but we're going to have to work at it. We're going to have to be with Jesus Christ in our daily living. Let him rule our life. Let his righteousness be our way of life. It's been good to be with you, friends. I hope we've touched upon this question. If you have other questions, send them in. Listen for the time of service of the congregation that brings you this broadcast. Be there if you can, and be with us next time as we deal once again with Bible questions and answers.